ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ श्रीमन्महागणाधिपतये नमः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक्प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वम् ब्रह्मोपनिषदम् माहम् ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अणमस्त्वनिराकरणम् मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः नौ वि आर् सीयिङ्ग् दि सम्बन्ध भाष्यम् सम्बन्ध भाष्यम् मीन्स् वाट् दि भाष्यम् दि कमेण्टरि the introductory commentary to this Upanishad, wherein Shankara presents the connection between the karma and jnanam. Why he is presenting the connection between karma and jnanam, the relationship between karma and jnanam he is presenting, because in the karma one has to perform mainly for, of course, even though for other fruits he is performing of karma, but still karma performance is for antakarna shuddhihi, or karma kayikam karma or manasam karma upasanam. Any karma is not a means for moksha. Jnanam alone, purely jnanam, is the means for moksha. That he wants to present it very clearly, establish that here. He has to see, presenting the whole thing now, we'll see. So we have seen, he explained last class, he quoted Shruti statements, also to establish that how jnanam is the only means for moksha. Karma is not the means for moksha. That he was talking, and then the Purupakshi came into the picture. I think we have to start from Purupakshi. So the Purupakshi came and said, karma, when Shankara presented jnanam by itself independently, without combined with karma, jnanam, without the combination of karma, without being combined with the karma, jnanam independently by itself becomes a means for moksha. Karma independently also cannot be the means for moksha. Karma combined with jnanam also cannot be the means for moksha. Whereas jnanam independently by itself is a means for moksha. That means Shankara says karma, Shankara does not deny the importance of karma. That means he says karma is important for a person. One has to perform karma. It may be worldly karma or vaidikam karma or religious rituals. Any karma one has to perform for antahkarna shuddhihi. For antahkarna shuddhihi, karma has to be performed. He does not deny that, which is the preparedness required for jnanam. But for mokshaha, jnanam by itself is enough. That means Shankara talks of karma. Shankara also emphasizes the combination of karma and jnanam, but he emphasizes the not simultaneous combination of karma and jnanam, but he emphasizes the consequential combination of karma and jnanam. That means a human being has to perform karma as a grihastha in order to become mentally pure, and thereby as a pure-minded, then he becomes qualified for the pursuit of jnanam. Then he has to pursue jnanam. Then jnanam independently, without the combination of karma, becomes a means for mokshaha. So consequentially karma and jnanam had to be combined, but not simultaneously. Well, that means he refused the idea, the view, that jnanam and karma had to be combined simultaneously. It's called that combining jnanam and karma simultaneously is called what now? Jnana karma sama samuchaya vadaha. Sama samuchaya vadaha. Jnana karma krama samuchaya vadaha is Shankaracharya's argument. Krama samuchaya, sama samuchaya. No, samuchaya means synthesis. So synthesis of jnanam and karma, karma and jnanam, simultaneously synthesizing karma and jnanam is called karma jnana sama samuchaya vadaha. That Shankara refutes. What Shankara emphasizes is karma jnana krama samuchaya vadaha. Krama samuchaya means what? Consequential combination. Consequentially, no? Combining. Sequentially combining. Isn't it? The sequential combination. Sequential combination is called sequential combination is called krama samuchaya. And then simultaneous combination is called sama samuchaya. Is it sama samuchaya, krama samuchaya? Sama simultaneous, krama sequential. Then, so in that context, Shankara started his bhashyam, and he also quoted Shruti statements from Aitareya, from Chandogyam and all that, to say that kahau jnanam is purely the means of mokshaha. Then the Purapakshi came. Purapakshi means what? The one who raises objection. In fact, the beauty of this Upanishad is, when you start studying Upanishads, if you read Shankaracharya's Bhashyam, the Mundaka Upanishad Bhashyam or Katha Upanishad Bhashyam does not really have those Upanishads do not have Purapakshis. Shankara himself does not introduce many Purapakshis in those Upanishads. Only from this Upanishad he introduces Purapakshis. And as we go further, that is why it's a krama, what should be studied first. And when only the Purapakshis come, we will know really how to think properly. Purapakshis are present only for making a person think correctly. In fact, Swamiji always says, no, and Paramatmananda says this, when you start studying when you start coming across this Purapakshis in the Bhashyam, and then he makes you think much better. The more you are able to think also clearly, and you can't stand when people do not make sense. You become very, very intolerant towards people who can't really think correctly, who are, you know, then that means we get very angry also. So that's why it's very important for one to simultaneously to manage one's anger also. Learn to manage one's anger. Because it's naturally you can't stand, you know, when people don't think correctly, and then because a lot of you can't stand them. That's also one of the reasons when you study Bhashyam, when Purapakshis come. So this is the Upanishad he introduces. Then slowly in other Upanishads, Purapakshis will be introduced more, and more Purapakshis will be there, more arguments will be presented, and more he will be clearing the doubts. So here the Purapakshi comes now. What Purapakshi says, Let us read here. Karma sahitadapi.
Karma sahitadapi.
Jnanat.
Yetat.
Siddhyati.
Siddhyati.
Iti chet.
Na.
So that na is Shankara's answer. Okay, what is Purupakshi's Vadaha now? He says, Karma sahitat jnanat api yetat siddhyati. Yetat siddhyati means this becomes accomplished. Yetat siddhyati. This becomes accomplished. What becomes accomplished? Mokshaha becomes accomplished. Mokshaha becomes accomplished by what? He says, jnanat, by knowledge. No? But which knowledge? He doesn't say mere knowledge. Karma sahitat jnanat. Have you noticed? Karma sahitat jnanat. Karma sahitam is what now? So combined with, along with karma, jnanam becomes, means for accomplishing mokshaha. That is the meaning. Karma sahitatapi jnanat etat siddhyati. No, this becomes accomplished. In fact, yeshaha mokshaha siddhyati. This becomes accomplished by knowledge combined with karma. Karma sahitatapi jnanat etat siddhyati. Iti chet, why can't I say, he says, iti chet, if, yes, if it is said that moksha becomes accomplished by knowledge combined with karma, then Shankara says what? Na. Na is his answer. Why? When he said na, no, na, no, it is not possible for you to combine karma with jnanam. That is his answer. You need not combine karma with jnanam as means for mokshaha. Then he says, you cannot combine karma with jnanam for mokshaha. You need not, first answer. Second answer, you cannot combine karma with jnanam as a means for mokshaha. Then he gives, he quotes a Shruti. You know, he quotes Upanishad. Vajasaneyake tasya anyakaranatva vachanat vajasaneyake tasya anya karanatva vachanat. See, vajasaneyaka means other Upanishad. From another Upanishad, not vajasaneyaka is the name of the Upanishad. Vajasaneyakam is a portion wherein there is an Upanishad. And that Upanishad, he says, tasya anya karanatva vachanat. Okay? There is a anya karanam. Anya karanatva vachanat means what? There is a statement which gives another reason for this. Anya karanatva vachanat. What is that it is said in that Upanishad? We'll see here. Jaya me syat. Iti prastutya putrena ayam lokaha jayaha na anyena karmana. So here he says, jayame syat iti prastutya putrena अयम् लोकः जयः न अन्येन कर्मणा कर्मणा पितृलोकः विद्यया देवलोकः इति आत्मनः अन्यस्य लोकत्रयस्य कारणत्वम् उक्तम् वाजसनेयके. ओके, ही इज वेरी केयरफुली कोटिंग अ मंत्र फ्रॉम उपनिषद एंड व्हाट डज इट मीन हियर. सी लोकत्रयम् थ्री वर्ल्ड्स. Lokatraya means what? A set of three worlds. Trayaha lokaha, three worlds. What are the three worlds? He says, Manushya lokaha, Pitru lokaha and Deva lokaha. Manushya lokaha, Pitru lokaha is a higher loka and Deva lokaha means Brahma loka, higher loka, highest of the lokas. So, these three lokas, see, being born or reaching any of these three lokas, whether to be born as a human being in this Manushya loka, or to go to Deva loka, or to go to Pitru loka, highest loka Deva loka, or higher loka Pitru loka, or to be born a human being in this Manushya loka, to any of these lokas, all the three lokas come under what now? Anatma prapanchaha. Anatma prapanchaha. Anatma prapanchaha means what now? They all come within the realm of material universe only. Any loka is material universe only. Anatma prapanchaha, then karya prapanchaha, then there also what now? All these, any of these worlds also, time bound, no, isn't it? Any of these loka is time bound. Why? Because life in any of this loka is time bound. Pitru loka, life in Pitru loka, life in Manushya loka, life in Deva loka also is time bound. Therefore, and is accomplishing these lokas really is not a mokshaha. But he says here, why he says, in this Vajrasanayaka, in that Upanishad from the Vajrasanayi Samhita, he says, there is a sentence which begins with Jayame Syat. There is a sentence which says Jayame Syat. May means, may I have a wife. Know that? Why? Because I want son. Why I want son? Only if a person has son, then one can have this Manushya Loka. See, he says Karanam. To accomplish these three worlds, you need three causes, isn't it? To be born a human being again in this world, then to accomplish this human world, Manushya Loka, one should have a son. Okay? Then he says, to go to Pitru Loka, one should perform rituals. So karma becomes the means for accomplishing Pitru Lokaha. And son becomes the means for accomplishing the Manushya Loka. And one has to perform karma along with practice of upasanam, in order to go to Deva Lokaha. So he says, putra becomes the means, karanam, for accomplishing the Manushya Loka. Then karma, performance of karma becomes the means for accomplishing the Pitru Loka. Upasanam becomes the means for accomplishing the Deva Lokaha. What about this? Isn't it? Therefore, here this particular karanatva muktam. So only for accomplishing the time-bound material ends, even the accomplishing other ends also come under the category of material ends only. Only for accomplishing the material ends, which are time-bound in nature, one has to perform karma. Look at it, whether it's a upasana also, it's a karma. fire ritual also is a karma. And by doing that, what you can get? Not moksha. Because this mantra says this putraha, karma and upasanam as corresponding means for accomplishing these lokas respectively. Manushya loka, pitra loka and deva lokaha. It does not say, isn't it? These are not said to be the cause for accomplishing the mokshaha. Is it clear now? Therefore, this is one quotation. Is it clear now? Karanatva muktam. Mean what now? These three enjoy the status of being the causes for accomplishing these three worlds. It means what? These three means, these three are said to be the mean for accomplishing three worlds, means they are not moksha. Upanishad makes it so clear. Therefore, karma is a means only for accomplishing whether the Vaidikam karma performance of rituals or Manasam karma upasanam or even Grihasthashrama life by living which you have a son, even to accomplish any of these worlds only, no? Karma becomes the means. Karma being the means only for accomplishing these ends. Is it clear now? So that doesn't say one should do karma for moksha. Karma is said to be the cause for what? Accomplishing putra, or to go to pitriloka, or to go to devaloka. Is it clear now? So he quotes that sentence. Putrena ayam lokaha jayaha, nanyena karmana. Now only by having a son, one can accomplish this manushya lokaha. Therefore, what is that you need for accomplishing the manushya loka? Putra. For to have putra, what you should be? You should live a householder's life, grihasthashrama life. So grihasthashrama life implies what? Performing lots of karma. Understand now? Then, next, karmana pitrulokaha. Karmana pitrulokaha means what now? Only by performing rituals, fire rituals, one can attain pitrulokaha, the world of means, a higher lokaha. Then third one, vidyaya devalokaha. Vidyaya devalokaha means what? Vidya here means upasanam. Even though the word vidya literally means knowledge, here the word vidya means upasanam. Vidyaya means upasanena. You know, upasanena. Devalokaha. Devalokaha means highest lokaha. Devalokaha. Itya iti atmanaha. Iti thus atmanaha for one. Anyasya lokatrayasya. Lokatrayasya karanatvam uktam. Is it clear now? Lokatrayasya karanatvam uktam. So to accomplish the three worlds, the three means are mentioned. What are they? This the manushya loka, pitra loka and devaloka. To accomplish these three worlds respectively, you need putraha, and we need to have what? The putraha is said to be the cause for accomplishing manushya loka. Karma performance of karma is said to be the means for accomplishing deva pitra loka, and practice of upasanam is said to be the means for deva lokaha. That means all the three imply only karma. Putraha also stands for grihasthashrama life, which implies karma. Then karma also implies what? Performance of rituals, again karma. Upasanam also implies what? Kamanasam karma. Therefore only karma. Karma is said to be the means for accomplishing the three worlds which fall within the material time-bound ends, not mokshaha. Therefore, Shankara says, karma cannot be combined with Jnanam as a means for moksha. Point one. Then we'll go to the next one. Tatraiva cha. Then tatraiva means what? There itself. In that vajasaneyakam. No, itself. In that same portion of the Veda, in the same Upanishad, he says, Parivrajya Vidhane Hetuhu Uktaha. See, same place. He quotes two mantras from the same Upanishad. Okay? From Vajasaneyaka portion. That means here, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, actually. What he says here, first he said karma is means for accomplishing three worlds in the form of sun, ritual and upasanam. Now he says parivrajya vidhanam. Parivrajaha means sannyasi. Parivrajya vidhanaha means sannyasa vidhihi. Sannyasa vidhanam. That means he quotes a mantra from that Upanishad, same Upanishad, where the mindset of a sannyasi is presented. Parivrajya vidhanam vidhane hetuhu. Hetuhu uktaham invato. It has been said there that what is the cause? You know, hetu means what? What is the cause which really shows the mind of the sannyasi? The person who is totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge, how does his mind, how does his mind remain? What is his mindset? He says now, this is a mantra. Kim prajaya karishyamaha. Kim prajaya karishyamaha. Ya karishyamaha. Kim karishyamaha means what? What shall we do? What shall we do what now? With progeny. Prajaya. What shall we do with progeny? Why? Who will say that? What shall we do with the progeny? You know, if I am interested in manushya loka, then I should be interested in praja. Isn't it? Kim prajaya karishyamaha. Why? Who says this? Yesham, see, what shall we do with progeny, you know, we people, for whom, yesham, for whom, for us, naha, yesham, naha, for us, for whom, na, for us, I am Atma, I am Lokaha means what? I am Atma, the self is the ultimate end. Na other lokas, not manushya lokaha, not pitru lokaha, not deva lokaha. We are interested in what? Atma lokaha. I am lokaha means what now? I am lokaha means this what now? Atma, I am lokaha. For us, Atma is the ultimate end. Atma lokaha is the ultimate end. Moksha is the ultimate end. So, for us, naha, for us, you know, this people, for whom, Atma is the ultimate end, Atma is the end for us, and such people, what shall we do with the praja? What shall we do with the progeny? That statement implies what? That statement also says, a sannyasi who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge, you know, whose mindset, he will not be interested in progeny also. He is interested only in what? No, that means the very expression, kim prajaya karishyamaha, what shall we do with the progeny? Who are not interested in other lokas? Who are interested only in atma lokaha? So those who are interested in atma lokaha, they won't hate children, but they will not be interested in children. See, as a young grihastha, when you start your life, of course you would like to have a son. But when you get old, no, I want to have children, again the interest won't be there. What? Even the practical reason is you don't have enough time to, in this world, to raise the children properly, one reason. Is it? Second thing, even if you're hale and healthy also, you can't spend all your lifetime for raising new more children, for more children. You have to look out yourself. You have to take care of your well-being also, isn't it? That is why these people, it's completely an expression of real maturity. The person has grown out of desire for even pleasures of being with children, enjoying children. That's a stage, isn't it? Here, see, there's no hatred for children. We have to be very careful here. One must have grown out of desire for even progeny, because that pleasure also must have grown out of. Only that may, that is how you become totally interested in jnanam and moksha. That means the 100% commitment is to moksha means what now? You are very clear about the limitations of all forms of pleasure. Even because this pleasure is, you know, putreshana, the pleasure is very difficult for one to grow out of desire for pleasure of having and being with children, one's own progeny and all that. Isn't it? Again, by having a chasan, one can get again manushya loka. That's also very interesting, isn't it? People will be interested. But here, the same Upanishad, how come it states two mantras? There is a person who is interested in progeny, who is interested in manushya loka. For him, he definitely needs a son. And to have the son means he should have a wife and he should get married. He should live household life. That is, which implies living a house, grihasthashma life means performance of karma. It's lots of karma only. There's no grihasthashma life without performing karma. Isn't it? Again, even to go to higher lokas also, karma has been, special rituals have been prescribed. And even accomplished devaloka also, one has to perform rituals along with the upasanam. They're all karma, and all forms of karma are said to be the means for accomplishing the three worlds which come within the realm of anatma prapancha, material ends, and which come time-bound ends only. It's not moksha. The same Upanishad talks about another person who is interested only in, the person who is interested in other lokas will go, has to choose karma. The person who is interested in atma loka, you can see how he is disinterested in praja. Very expression. Kim karishyamaha prajaya. What shall we do with the progeny? Nayesham naha. I am atma. I am lokaha. Atma is the loka for us. Atma is the end for us. And for people for whom atma is the end, no, what shall we do? All that we need is, we need to know what atma is. Instead, what do we do with progeny? That statement, no, really, presence brings to light the mindset of a sannyasi, for whom moksha is the end. Isn't it? So that means the Upanishad also must have told what? Oh, praja, if moksha is accomplishable with the praja, then he wouldn't have said this. I've got the idea now. Though Shankara quotes this, he quotes two different mantras presenting the mindsets of two different types of people. The one who is eligible for karma, for whom ends are different. The person for whom ends are different, he will naturally, for him karma becomes the means. For a person for whom moksha is the end, for him naturally the expression implies the disinterest in putraha praja implies karma being not the means, karma being not combinable with jnanam. Tatra ayam hetvartha. Tatra, there, in that context, I am hetvartha. Hetvartha means what now? This really implies, you know, jnanam being the only independently the cause. You know, jnanam without being dependent on karma, purely independently being the cause for, the means for moksha. It's kind of, it's very clearly said there. Praja, karma, tat sanyukta, vidyabihi, manushya, pitru, devalokatraya, sadhanaihi, anatma, loka pratipatti karanaihi, kim karishyamah. Again, goes, the mantra continues again, he says again, what he says, praja karma tat sanyukta vidyabihi. Praja, you know, praja means by progeny, karma, performance of rituals, tat sanyukta vidyabihi. Tat sanyukta means what now? Along with performance of karma, ritual, vidya, practice of upasanam, meditation. So, karma independently and karma with upasanam is what a sanyukta. Is it clear now? So, praja, progeny, karma, performance of rituals, then sanyukta. Tat sanyukta vidya means karma sanyukta vidya. Karma sanyukta vidya means what now? Practice of upasanam along with performance of rituals. Vidyabihi, by these three means, praja becomes the means, karma becomes the means, then karma sanyukta vidya becomes the means. With these, by these three means, what are the ends which can be accomplished? He says, manushya, pitru, deva, lokatraya, sadhanaihi. See, these three become sadhanas for what? Means for accomplishing, respectively, manushya, pitru, deva, lokatrayam. Understand now? With these means, with the progeny and with these rituals, and meditation rituals with meditation, or meditation with rituals, with these threefold means, which are means for accomplishing three worlds, manushya loka, pitru loka and deva loka, with them. And what are these lokas? Anatma loka pratipatti karanaihi. These three means become karanam. No, three become karanam for what now? Anatma loka pratipattihi. Pratipattihi for accomplishing or for the accomplishment of anatma lokaha. Understand now? Anatma lokaha. Kim karishyamaha? He says that one sentence again is very well explained. Kim karishyamaha? Who says this? Who says this? The people who, for whom Atma is the end, Moksha is the end, those sannyasi's mind, sannyasi means what? Whoever, not the one who is wearing a saffron robe, whoever is desperately want only Moksha is sannyasi only, mentally. Understand now? Therefore, see, the person who is interested in only in Moksha, for whom ultimate end is only Moksha, Atma is the end for him. For such a person, he said, what such a person's mind, how will it be? He says, he talks about, you know, he talks in plural, okay? Kim karishyamaha, what shall we do with those three means what now? Three means for accomplishing three different ends. Three means for accomplishing three different ends, and which fall within the realm of anatma. Is it clear now? That is the meaning here. So we can read again. Praja karma tat sanyukta vidyabihi. With those three things, karma, progeny, karma, and upasanam associated with karma, with those things, which are means for accomplishing the anatma lokaha, no? The three lokas which fall in the realm of anatma prapancha. Pitru, deva, lok, manushya, pitru, deva, lokatraya sadhanehi, no? Anatma loka pratipatti karanehi. They become the means for accomplishing the anatma lokaha. What are the anatma lokaha? The manushya, deva, pitru, deva lokaha. For accomplishing these three worlds, which fall within the realm of anatma prapancha, which serve as means, what are the means here? This praja, karma, and tat karma sanyukta vidya, upasanam. With those things, what shall we do? Kim karishyamaha? Pratipatti accomplishment. So say pratipatti karanam. Pratipatti karanaihi means what now? With those which serve as means for accomplishing the three worlds. Three means and three ends. Okay, sadhanatrayam, sadhyatrayam. What are the sadhanatrayam? Putraha is a sadhanam. Then karma is a sadhanam. Karma sanyukta upasanam is a sadhanam. Sadhanatrayam for sadhyatrayam. What are the ends? Manushya lokaha, pitra lokaha, deva lokaha. But okay, with all of them, they're all what now? All the three ends come within the realm of what? Anatma. Anatma lokaha. So only to accomplish the anatma lokaha, is three lokaha, for which the means become what? Putraha, praja, karma, and karma sanyukta vidya. With those, kim karishyamaha vayam? What shall we do? We don't need those means, because our end is atmalokaha. So this statement, Shankara quotes this, because the person who is committed to moksha, for whom atma is the end, because he says, what shall we do with that? That itself is shows very clearly, the person for whom atma is the end, he does not require karma. Is it clear? No. Therefore, second quotation to say, karma cannot be, need not be combined with jnanam as a means for accomplishing moksha. Is it clear now? Okay. We'll go to the next. Nacha asmakam lokatrayam anityam sadhana sadhyam ishtam yesham asmakam swabhavikah ajah ajarah amrutah abhayah na vardhate karmana no kaniyan nityascha lokah ishtah. Again he says, he continues, na cha and cha and asmakam lokatrayam anityam lokatrayam asmakam sadhana sadhyam na ishtam. That na should go with what now? Ishtam. Asmakam na ishtam. Can you read that now? Nacha asmakam lokatrayam anityam sadhana sadhyam ishtam. So he says, cha, and also he says, who says here again, who is the people he is quoting the sannyasi's mind here by say quoting this statement, the statement of the state, it's an expression of the people for whom atma is the end, moksha is the end. What do they say here? He says, asmakam na ishtam. It is, na ishtam is what now? It is not desirable. It is not desirable for us. Ishtam is a, ishta is a participle. Desired is a participle. Na ishtam, what now? Not desired by us. It is not desirable for us. Asmabihi na ishtam. It has not been desired by us. It is not desirable for us. Okay? Asmakam na ishtam. What is not ishtam? What is not desirable for us? Anityam lokatrayam. This time-bound three worlds, isn't it? A set of three worlds which is time-bound in nature. Isn't it? Any lokaha is what? Except atma, everything else is time-bound. Therefore, what he says now, lokatrayam anityam lokatrayam. There is no lok, except atma, nothing is nityam here, nityaha, isn't it? So he says, lokatrayam anityam. Anityam lokatrayam, these three worlds which are anityaha, which are time bound in nature, they are not desirable for us. And which are in the form of what now? Sadhana sadhyam. Sadhana sadhyam also. Which have the sadhana sadhyam means, the means, is it? Sadhanam also is what now? Time bound. Sadhyam also is time bound. These three worlds involving, listen, sadhana sadhyam ishtam. I mean, three worlds fall within the realm of what now? Sadhana sadhyam. Involves sadhanam and sadhyam, means and ends. See, anything which has to be accomplished becomes a sadhyam. Anything which serves as a means becomes a sadhanam, isn't it? Whereas atma is neither the sadhanam, now atma is not the means for accomplishing anything else, and understand now, atma is not even an end to be accomplished. Why? Atma does not fall within the sadhana sadhya vastu, fall within the realm of the means and ends. Atma is always siddha vastu. Atma being already accomplished, atma is not the sadhyam. Atma being already accomplished, atma is not, atma being already a siddha vastu, atma doesn't fall within the realm of sadhya vastuni. Atma is not something to be accomplished. Therefore, atma is not the sadhyaha. Moksha is not sadhyaha. Chakra here talks that moksha and atma are identical. Isn't it? So, atma is not sadhyaha. Mokshaha is not sadhyaha. Nor is mokshaha sadhanam for accomplishing anything else also. Atma is neither the sadhanam nor the sadhyam. What is atma? Atma is an already accomplished siddha vastu. Therefore, what about these three lokas? They are not siddha vastus. No? They become sadhanam. They also become sadhyam. Isn't it? They become sadhanam. The lokas are the sadhyaha. For what? For better pleasures. For they become sadhanam and sadhyam. Therefore, he says, asmakam na ishtam. So, people for whom atma is the ultimate lokaha, ultimate end, and for us, na cha asmakam, is sadhana sadhyam, anityam, lokatrayam, na ishtam. For us, these three, a set of three worlds, which fall within the this realm of the sadhana sadhyani, which then which are time bound in nature, are not really is not desirable. Is it clear? That means Shankara quotes this for what? To say, look at this Purapakshi. He says now, if a person, if karma can be combined with the jnanam as a moksha, then why should Shruti presents the mindset of a person for whom moksha is the lokaha, atma is the lokaha? See that. Do you read Shruti? Do you understand what Shruti says? Shruti quotes this sentence. Shruti says this. This sentence from the Shruti, I'm not talking, saying my, from my own, see, as my own. Shruti says, what does Shruti say? Shruti presents this sentence, and which sentence presents the mindset of the person for whom Atma is the ultimate end, Moksha is the ultimate end. And he very clearly says, Asmakam na ishtam, we are not interested in this threefold lokas. Anityaha, because time bound in nature, and they are sadhanani and sadhyani. They are means and they are also ends. Whereas we are interested in what? We are interested in moksha, atmalokaha, which is siddha vastu, which is not time bound in nature. Understand? Therefore, because only those things are, those three worlds, now the karma is said to be the means for accomplishing karma, praja, and upasana was said to be the means for accomplishing three worlds. And these people who are interested in jnanam and moksha are not really interested in these three lokas also. It is very clear that jnanam independently, without the, being combined with the karma, becomes a means for moksha. Is it clear now? Okay, we'll go to next line. He says, why we are not interested in lokatrayam, anityam, sadhana sadhyam, lokatrayam, asmakam, na ishtam, why na ishtam, why it is not desirable for us? He says, yesham, asmakam. He says, swabhavikaha, ajaha, ajaraha, amrutaha, abhayaha, na vardhate, karmana, na kaniyan. Sorry. No kaniyan. Nityascha lokaha ishtaha. He says, naha ishta asmakam for us. For us, what is ishtaha? Lokatrayam na ishtam, but he says, nityascha lokaha ishtaha. And we are interested in only nitya lokaha. We are not interested in anitya lokaha. We are interested in nitya lokaha. What is this nitya lokaha? He says, swabhavikaha. Swabhavikaha. No? Swabhavikaha means what now? Which is there naturally as one's own self. And then ajaha, which has no beginning, which is not born, and then ajaraha, which does not get old, doesn't disappear in time, and amrutaha, which is not subject to any destruction, and abhayaha, which is not fraught with fear, which is free from fear, abhayaha, karmana na vardhate, doesn't become, which doesn't grow, or na kaniyan. Naha kaniyan nityascha lokaha ishtaha. Therefore, which is nityascha lokaha naha ishtaha. What he says now, what is desirable for us is what now? Ajaraha, Abhayaha, Nityaha, Lokaha, Ishtaha. We are interested in everlasting, which is naturally there as one's own self, and which is not time bound, which is the Ajaha, Ajaraha, Amrutaha. All these words, what now, reveals Swarupam of the Atma. Ajaraha Atma, Ajaha Atma, Amrutaha Atma, Abhayaha Atma. Atma doesn't have any fear, isn't it? Abhayatma. Atma doesn't have any fear. So, that, he says, that Atma only is desirable for us. Which doesn't grow by action. Isn't always actions can bring about changes. Therefore, that which is not any subject to change. No? So, changeless, everlasting, eternal, indestructible, free from the Atma, which is free from fear, okay, which is independently existent. Svabhavika also means what now? Which exists by itself. You know? That Atma is alone desirable for us. That means what? We are interested in Atma Loka. Atma, we are not interested in Lokatrayam. Look at this Purupakshi. When he says, we are interested in Atma Lokaha, Atma, we are not interested in Anatma, Anitya Anatma Lokaha. So only for Anitya Anatma Lokaha, Karma and Upasanam and Praja said to be the means. For Atma Lokaha, people, what shall we do with that when he says, that implies what? Karma being not required, karma being not combinable with jnanam as means for moksha. Is it clear? So, this is called Shruti Pramanam. Shankara quotes Shruti as support of his argument. He presented very clearly in the beginning itself. He made it very clearly, you know. But because Purupakshi asked, karma sahitat, you know, jnanadapi, etat siddhiti chet, he came out with objection. No? Shankara wanted to make it very clear. Come on, it is not possible. Why? Listen to me. In Vajrasanyayaka, no, it is said there. In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, this is the Shruti. It talks about people who are interested in the three ends, for which three means, which involve karma. And they are all time bound. Then look at the same Mantra Upanishad, course other Shruti, which presents the mind of, the mind pattern of, no, the mind of the person who is interested only in Atma. Look at this, how, what they say. Kim karishyamaha prajaya. No? Whereas the other person says, jaya me syat. He says, no, kim karishyamaha prajaya. One is interested in putraha, because this person is not interested in putraha. And he also mentions what now? This anitya, you know, anitya prapancha sadhanam. Anitya phala sadhanam. These three becomes means for accomplishing the time-bound ends only. No? Which serve as means and ends for accomplishing ends also. You know? Whereas we are not interested in all these things. We are interested in only Atma. So what can we do with that? Do you understand the context? What Shankara, why he quotes these mantras? Okay. Nacha asmakam lokatrayam anityam sadhana sadhyam ishtam yesham asmakam swabhavikaha ajaha ajaraha amrutaha abhayaha na vardhate karmana no kaniyan nityascha lokaha ishtaha. Okay. சச்ச
நித்யத்வாத்
ந அவித்யா நிவ்ருத்தி வ்யதிரேகேண அன்ய சாதன நிஷ்பாத்யஹ. He says சஹச்ச and சஹ. சஹ means what now? சஹ அஸ்மாகம் இஷ்ட நித்யஹ. சஹ ஆத்மலோகஹ, சஹ மோக்ஷஹ, சஹ ஆத்மா நித்யத்வாத், due to its nature of being eternal. Because of its nature of being eternal, because of its eternity, because of its status of being the eternal, that Atma, na avidya nivritti vyatirekena, na avidya nivritti vyatirekena. Avidya nivritti means elimination of ignorance. Elimination vyatirekena means other than the elimination of ignorance, isn't it? Avidya nivritti vyatirekena, other than the removal of ignorance, anya sadhana nishpadhyaha, na nishpadhyaha, that na should go with nishpadhyaha, na nishpadhyaha. Na nishpadhyaha means what now? Is not accomplishable. Okay? Na nishpadhyaha means what now? Not accomplishable. What is not accomplishable here? Saha. What is saha? Atmalokaha. Ad atmalokaha mokshaha. Saha mokshaha. Saha atma. Na nishpadhyaha. It is not accomplishable by what? Anya sadhanena, anya sadhana, by any other means. Atmalokaha, mokshaha is not accomplishable by any other means. Anya sadhana nishpadhyaha, na nishpadhyaha means what now? Anya sadhanena na nishpadhyaha. That means, only by one sadhana it is nishpadhyaha. What is that? He says, other than the elimination of ignorance, instead of saying only by knowledge, other than the elimination of ignorance, by no other means, that Atmaloka is accomplishable. Is it clear? Have you got it now? He says, Saha, Cha. Saha means, he simply says Saha. Saha means what? No, that. Which? What is that? Saha means the loka which has been mentioned earlier. What are we interested in? Asmakam ishtaha lokaha. The loka we are interested in, isn't it? What are we interested in? We are interested in atmalokaha. We are interested in atma. We are interested in mokshaha. That atmalokaha, that atma, that mokshaha, na nishpadhyaha anya sadhana na nishpadhyaha. It is not accomplishable by any other means other than vyatirekena. Other than, what now? Elimination of ignorance. Elimination of ignorance means what? Knowledge. So, avidya nivritti vyatirekena. Is it clear now? Avidya nivritti vyatirekena. Other than the elimination of ignorance, anya sadhana by any other means na nishpadhyaha, it is not accomplishable. Why? Nityatvat, due to its eternity. Because what does it mean? Atma is eternal. Atma is already there, isn't it? How can we accomplish what is already there? If at all, therefore, that is why putting here, such a beautiful thing, nityatvat. First he says, nityatvat. What is the cause? Why you cannot accomplish atma by any other means? Why can't I accomplish atma by any other means other than knowledge, other than the elimination of ignorance? Because it is already there. See, what is not there already can be accomplished by karma and by doing something. But Atma being eternal means it is already there. what is already there cannot be accomplished. But still it has to be accomplished. Therefore, accomplishment of Atma, not in terms of, only in terms of knowledge. Because already there, nityatvat, sahacha lokaha, nityatvat, na, avidya nivritti vyatirekena, other than the elimination of ignorance, anya sadhanena na nishpadyaha. It is not possible, to accomplish mokshaha other than the elimination of ignorance, you know, because it is already there. Because of its eternal, because it's already there. Already there, let me simply be what? Nityatvat. Due to its eternity. Literally, due to its eternity. We said you can't get it, understand it. Due to its eternity, due to its status of being eternal, because it's already there, it cannot be accomplished by any other means other than knowledge, other than the elimination of ignorance. Okay? Point number three, he says that. Tasmat pratyagatma. Now he comes, therefore. Okay? Tasmat. Tasmat, therefore. Pratyagatma. Brahma vijnana purvakaha. Sarvaishana. Sanyasaha eva. Kartavyaha iti. Okay. Tasmat, therefore, pratyagatma brahma vijnana purvakaha sarveshana sanyasaha eva kartavyaha. In fact, it must, what should be done here? Therefore, one should do what now? Sarveshana sanyasaha. Sarveshana sanyasa eshana means eshana trayam. Putreshana lokeshana, you know, we have this desire for worlds, desire for progeny. These are very natural desires, you know. So any desire for anything. Putreshana, vitteshana, lokeshana, eshana trayam. No, eshana trayam means threefold desires. Putreshana, desire for progeny. Vittaishana, desire for prosperity, wealth. And lokeshana, desire for other worlds and better pleasures. Eshana traya. So, I go to say eshana traya because sarva eshana sanyasaha. See, sarva eshana sanyasaha implies vairagyam. Sarva yeshana sanyasa, but now renunciation of all the desires implies that you do not implies one being highly mature, one being dispassionate. One does not give up one's desires. Actually, one must have grown out of desire for these things naturally. Isn't it? How he says, pratyagatma brahma vijnana purvakaha. Pratyagatma brahma vijnana purvakaha means what now? Pratyagatma brahma vijnanam, when becomes the end, naturally, then, naturally, this one would have grown out of desire for all, one would have grown out of desire for pleasures and things. Pratyagatma brahma vijnana, isn't it? Brahma vijnanam eva becomes important here. Pratyagatma brahma vijnana vishya purvakaha sanyasaha. Why the person becomes dispassionate towards other things? Sarva yeshana sanyasaha means the person being dispassionate towards other things. Everything else. Now, putra, vitta, loka, towards everything, he is dispassionate towards everything. Why? Because for him, now the only object is, the only end is, pratyagatma brahma vijnanam. For him, knowledge of the self, which is Brahman, is the ultimate. That becomes the his priority. When pratyagatma brahma vijnana becomes the object, that becomes his priority. Naturally, what now? He grows out, he becomes dispassionate towards other things. The sarvaishana sanyasaha eva kartavyaha. Isn't it? That is how it is. Is one reason. Okay. That means what? No. Naturally, one must be mature. One must have grown out of desire for other things to be totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Is it clear now? Then, therefore, he says, next point, Shankara presents again. Karma. Sahabhavitva. Virodhat. Cha. Pratyagatma. Brahma vijnanasya. He says, not only karma is not required for, karma need not be combined with the jnanam as a means for moksha. In fact, it is not possible to combine karma with jnanam as a means for moksha, because karma and jnanam are opposed to each other. Isn't it? He says, karma sahabhavitva virodhat. And also, sahabhavitva virodha. It is not possible, it is contradictory for one to say that karma can be combined with jnanam. Why? Karma and jnanam are opposed to each other. That means what? Where there is ajnanam, look at this. Why karma and jnanam cannot coexist? A person cannot have jnanam and he cannot still do the karma also. That means what? We talk about the mind now, not a physical activity. Isn't it? See, karma, when a person performs karma, if there is a notion, I am the doer, only then karma is there. Without the notion, I am the doer, a person performs karma, there is no karma, the karma is as though. Know that? That's called karma abhasaha. An ignorant person performs karma, their karma is real for the person, ajnani. When a wise person performs karma, there I am the doer notion being not there, even if the jnani performs a karma, that karma is not really karma, it is as though karma, it is karma abhasaha. Understand? But if you say, really karma must be there, that means what? Then that such thing is not possible. Why? Karma and jnanam are opposed to each other. They cannot coexist. I am the doer notion also cannot be there. Simultaneously, no, I am Atma, that jnanam also cannot be there. Coexist. Cannot coexist. Do you get what I am saying? These two cannot. Why? Sahabhavitva virodhat. Sahabhavitva means what now? Existing together. Jnanam and karma existing together simultaneously is what? Is not possible. Because they are opposed to each other. It is like darkness and light cannot coexist. Similarly, karma and jnanam also cannot coexist. So, why? Virodhat. Sahabhavitva virodhat. They are contradictory to each other, opposed to each other, therefore they cannot coexist. Therefore also, hey Purupakshi, please understand, karma cannot be combined with jnanam. Combinations, no? that simultaneous combination is not at all possible. He says, for what? Pratyagatma Brahma Vijnanasya Virodhat. Isn't it? Because opposed to, why in Pratyagatma Brahma Vijnanam, what now? The knowledge of self being Brahman. A knowledge of Brahman, the Atma, the self, if it is there, then that in a jnani, why? You can understand now. When the person is a jnani, there is no ajnanam, isn't it? Once ajnanam is not there, adhyasa is not there. Adhyaropaha is not there. Then adhyaropaha is not there, ahankara also cannot be there. See, ahankare, adhyarope sati, ahankara syat. Isn't it? If ahankara, wrong notion about the atma, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, such notions are possible when? Only if the limitations of anatma superimpose upon the atma. Thus, adhyaropaha is possible when? Only if there is adhyasaha. Only if mistake the anatma for the atma. When can you mistake anatma for the atma? Only if there is ajnanam. Look at this. Ajnane sati adhyaropaha, sorry, adhyasaha possible. Isn't it? Adhyase sati adhyaropaha possible. Adhyarope sati, if adhyaropa is there, ahankara is possible. If the wrong notion, I am the doer notion is there, karma becomes real. Karma is real for a person. I am the doer. I am going to do this. I am going to accomplish then this end. That karma becomes real only for a person who is ajnani. Whereas for a person who is a jnani, ajnanam being not there, adhyasa cannot be there. Adhyasa being not there, adhyaropa is not possible. Adhyaropa being not there, ahankara is not there. Isn't it? Ahankara being not there, wrong notion being not there, I am the doer notion is not there. With I am the doer notion being not there, where is the karma? For him, karma is all, everything is mithya, means karma cannot be satyam, no, for him. For a jnani, karma is karma abhasaha. Karma is mithya, as though only. Therefore, he says, pratyagatma brahma vijnanasya karma sahabhavitva virodhat. Therefore, they are opposed to each other. Is it clear? Nahi.
Nahi.
Upata.
Karaka.
Karaka. Palabheda vijnanena. Karmana. Pratyastamita. Sarvabheda darshanasya. Pratyagatma. Brahma vishayasya. Sahabhavitvam upapadyate. One more thing he is going to say now. Shankara says again. Upata karaka palabheda vijnanena karmana pratyastamita sarvabheda darshanasya. Pratyagatma Brahma Vishayasya Sahabhavitvam Na Upapadyate. The Na in the beginning. Whenever Na comes, so emphatic in negating the Purupakshi's argument. He starts with the Na. Why can't he say the full sentence Na Upapadyate? It is not possible to say that. He can put the Na at the end, no? Na Upapadyate. It is not appropriate. It is not possible. He starts with the na. Then he ends, he says, upapadyate. Isn't it? That means so clear he is. Na? He says, one more thing. See, in jnanam, plurality is dismissed. Duality is dismissed. Multiplicity is dismissed. Dismissed means what? It is not accepted. Plurality is not accepted as absolute reality. Plurality is not denied in jnanam. Plurality is not accepted as absolute reality in jnanam. You get the point what I'm saying? Whereas in ajnanam, plurality is very much real. Multiplicity is real. Duality is real. So differences are real in Ajnanam, whereas differences are mithya in Jnanam. In Jnanam, differences are mithya. In Ajnanam, differences are satyam. Look at the two, you know, different views. Therefore, what about the karma? Karma implies plurality. Karma implies multiplicity. Karma implies differences. As what? Aham the karta. Na, there's a karma I am doing, and to do the karma, lots of accessories are required. Karakani, isn't it? What do I do? How do I do? With what I do? Where do I do? So, karma involves what now? Karaka sambandham. Karakani, isn't it? That means all the accessories. See, accessories required for performing karma are said to be karakani. To perform a ritual means what? When you perform a ritual, you have to say, or you do any karma, for example, you do a simple karma of eating. Eating means what? You have to say, what do you eat? Karma karakam. How do you eat? With the hand. Karana karakam. No? Hastena khadami. Kim khadami. You know, bread khadami. Hastena khadami. You know, katham khadami. Asande upavishya khadami. Kutra khadami. No, restaurant madhye khadami. Or grihe khadami. Can say, no, Jnani Mahodaya Sahagatva Khadami. You can say include all the karakani, all different accessories are involved in perform any karma. What about performing rituals? Rituals means fire is involved, agni is involved, oblations are involved, agni kundam is involved, mantras are involved, the place is, location is involved. Isn't it all karakani? So karaka bhedaha, different accessories. Karaka bheda, no? Upata karaka pala bheda vijnanena karmana pratyastamita sarva bheda darshanasya. So, all the differences are connected to revealed where? In karma. Connected to karma means what now? In the form of karakas, in the form of accessories, in the form of kartrutvam. Is it? Kartrutvam, the karta becomes different, karma becomes different, the accessories required for the performance of karma become different. All these differences imply the plurality, which is possible only in Ajnanam. So plurality is possible only in Ajnanam. Plurality means what? Becomes satyam in Ajnanam. Do you get what I'm saying? Duality satyam only in divisions, differences, plurality is satyam only in Ajnanam. Therefore, karma is possible only in Ajnanam. Whereas in Jnanam, these divisions are all resolved. Divisions are all accepted, but still they are mithya, not satyam. When divisions are all mithya, karma associated with the divisions also is what becomes mithya. Therefore, in Jnanam, what is mithya, what is abhasaha becomes satyam in Ajnanam. Therefore, the karma which becomes real in Ajnanam, which becomes mithya in Jnanam. Therefore, how can this karma and Jnanam, the karma which is mithya from the standpoint of jnanam, be combined with jnanam? You get the point what I'm saying? He says, really speaking, because it's purely jnanam. Isn't it? The loka, that is what we are interested in. Moksha is the end and atma is the end. For that, we need not combine karma at all. And then even in the Shastra, when you start studying, Adhikari Vedaha is said there. Who studies Vedanta Shastram? Who studies Karma Kandaha? The one who, the Adhikari for Karma Kandaha is the one who is Ajnani, who has Kartrutvam, who has Bhoktrutvam, who is interested in time-bound phalams. He is the Karma Kandi. He is the Adhikari for, the Shastra Vedaha is already there. Why Shastra Veda? Shastra Veda itself is because of Adhikari Veda, Vishya Veda. Vishya Veda is there. Shastra Veda. Why do you say Karma Shastram and Moksha Shastram? Why do you say Karma Kandaha and Jnana Kandaha? Why can't we say Veda as entire whole, even the Veda as entire thing is a Shastram? But still it has two different Shastrams, two different sections. That means, why two different Shastrams? Because of Vishya Veda. Object matter of Karma Kanda is different, object matter of Jnana Kanda is different. And because object matter is different, Adhikari also is different. If both Shastras become means, meant for only one Adhikari, then you can say can be combined. Because Adhikaris are different. Mukshu is Adhikari here for Jnana Kanda. Whereas here, Chikirshu, the one who wants to do karma, is Adhikari for Karma Kanda. Isn't it? Therefore, how can Mukshu is one who wants moksha? Chikirshu, one who wants to do with Kartrutvam, etc. Therefore, that itself shows what now? Reveals that karma and jnanam cannot be combined. Therefore, na upapadyate. Nakim na upapadyate. It is not possible. It is not appropriate to say that karma can be combined with jnanam as a means for moksha. Sahabhavitvam na upapadyate. Okay? Sahabhavitvam means what now? Togetherness of karma and jnanam, a simultaneous combination of karma and jnanam is not possible. Second thing, he says, vastu pradhanye, say no? Satya purusha tantratvad. Brahma Vijnanasya. Sorry. Vastu Pradhanye. Sati. Apurusha Tantratvat. Brahma Vijnanasya. Okay. Vastu Pradhanye Sati. Apurusha tantratvad Brahma Vijnanasya. He says one more thing here. Okay, in Jnanam, the main point I said earlier was Jnanam, in Jnanam, plurality is dismissed as Mithya. In Ajnanam alone, plurality is Satyam. And in a plural, whereas karma involves plurality, isn't it? Implies plurality, therefore karma and jnanam cannot be combined. Not possible for them to be together. It opposed to each other. Where there is karma real, that jnanam is not there. Where there is jnanam, the karma becomes karma abhasa. Mithya. Therefore, they cannot be combined. One thing. Now he says, karma is, look at this, karma is purushatantram. Purushatantram means what? Karma is kartrutantram, whereas jnanam is vastutantram. I understand here. Vastutantram, purushatantram, what does it mean? I tell you. See, when your eyes are open, okay, and there is light. Do you have any say over the knowledge to take place? whatever object is there, that knowledge of that object happens, takes place. Eyes are open, mic is here means, what say do you have over the knowledge taking place? Can you keep your eyes open and still say, no, I don't want to know what mic is? Do you have any choice? Do you have any choice? I don't want to have the knowledge of the mic being there. Your eyes are open, there is a mic. What say do you have? Okay, therefore, but if the object is, it will be revealed to you. Isn't it? If the object is not there, that also will be known to you. That means you have no say over the knowledge. That means what now? When knowledge takes place, object, knowledge is dependent on the object. That means what? Dependent on the knowledge means here, I'm not talking about the Atma-jnanam here. I'm talking about generally. Generally, jnanam vastu-tantram. Light is, there's knowledge that the light is. It is darkness, then knowledge of the darkness is. You cannot say, no, no, I don't want to have knowledge of the light. Eyes are open means you have no say over the knowledge taking place. Can you say, no, I want to keep my eyes open, but still I don't want to know that there is light? Do you have any say over that? Therefore, knowledge of an object is dependent on the object. It's called Vastu Tantram. Knowledge being dependent on the knowledge of an object. Knowledge is dependent on the object of knowledge. It's called Vastu Tantram. Whereas Karma is Purusha Tantram. Purusha Tantra means what? Karma is dependent on Purusha. You have choice, you have say over karma. Before coming to the class, kartum, akartum, anyathava kartum. You have choice. You could choose to come here. You could have chosen to, you know, stay home. Or you could have gone elsewhere. Isn't it? The karma, you have say. You have Purushatantram, isn't it? Purushatantram, Kartrutantram. Karma, Kartrutantram, Jnanam, Vastutantram. That means knowledge is dependent on object. Whereas karma is dependent on, the Karta, Kartrutantram, Purusha. That means you have say over karma. See, you can listen to me sitting here, or you can get up and go away, isn't it? Or you can go elsewhere also. You have say over karma, whereas you do not have say over jnanam. Is it clear? Do you get this point? It is very important point to understand. Vastu tantram, kartru tantram. Vastu tantram, jnanam, purusha tantram, or kartru tantram, karma. Therefore, with object is means knowledge takes place, isn't it? I mean, you do not have knowledge takes place means what? You do not have any say over in knowledge taking in knowledge, no, of that object, isn't it? You cannot prevent the knowledge from taking place, whereas you can prevent yourself from doing something. Similarly, here also, that is the difference. So, jnanam, generally knowledge of something being, anything being vastu tantram, karma being purusha tantram, knowledge being not a purusha tantram, knowledge being not dependent on the purusha, I mean the karta, he says, therefore, what now? They are opposed to each other. knowledge and karma are opposed to each other. Why? Because karma is purushatantram, knowledge is vastutantram. Therefore, karma and knowledge are opposed to each other. That's called vastu pradhanye. Vastu pradhanya means what? Vastu pradhanya means what? So vastu pradhanya means what? Vastu pradhanya means vastu tantram. Vastu pradhanye sati. Vastu pradhanye sati. Apurusha tantratvat brahma vijnanasya. One more point he says. Why sahabhavitvam na possible? Why karmanaha jnanena sahabhavitvam na upapadyate? Why karma cannot coexist with jnanam? So can be combined because, one more thing point he says. Vastu pradhanye sati. Vastu pradhanye sati means what now? Vastu being pradhanam, object being pradhanam in jnanam, object being important, dependent, no? Because jnanam is dependent on karma, object. Here, apurusha tantratvat, jnanam being not dependent on the purusha, purusha means what? The karta here. Brahma vijnanasya, generally any knowledge for that matter. Knowledge of any object also is like that. What about knowledge of subject, isn't it? Generally, knowledge of anything, whether it is knowledge of object or knowledge of subject, knowledge in general is not dependent on the karta. Knowledge is dependent on the object. Therefore, knowledge is said to what now? Jnanam vastu tantram. Whereas karma is dependent on purusha, karta, kartru tantram. That is why you have choice over action, you do not have choice over knowledge. When the instruments of knowledge are functional, when the respective objects are there, what choice do you have over having the knowledge? Do you understand what I'm saying? You have to understand little differently here. Then we go to the jnana. What choice do you have? But your ears are deaf, that's a different problem. That is a entirely different problem. Ears are not deaf and somebody is talking. And what choice do you have over having the knowledge of sound being there? That is why we had to go and tell other person, come on, don't shout. If I have say, I can block it, isn't it? So also the light. The eyes are open, eyes are distortion free eyes, vision you have, light is there, but still what choice do you have over having the knowledge of the light being there? Do you understand what I'm saying? Therefore, jnanam vastu tantram. So now, jnanam vastu tantram. And Shankara here uses the word vastu pradhanye sati. Kasya, yasya kasya vapi jnanasya. For any knowledge, vastu is pradhanam. Vastu is important. Jnanam is dependent on the object. Whereas, what about karma? Karma is, therefore vastu pradhanye, jnanam is vastu tantram. He says, apurusha tantratvat. Not jnanam is not dependent on purusha. Therefore, apurusha tantratvat. Because jnanam is not dependent on the karta, the purusha. Because dependent on vastu, he says that jnanam is not dependent on purusha, apurusha tantratvat. Jnanam is dependent on vastu, Vastu pradhanye sati. Vastu tantre sati paspi. Sati. Okay, therefore, jnanam and karma cannot be combined. What about karma? But he doesn't say that. We have to add what now. Whereas karma is purushatantram. Karma is kartrutantram. Jnanam is vastutantram. Is it clear now? Therefore, it is not possible for you to combine jnanam and karma. Sahabhavitvam na upapadyate. Sahabhavitvam is what now? Togetherness. Being together. Being existent in the same locus. Okay, at least let me finish that argument. So, having said this much, with these are the points. Okay, maybe I can sum up next class. Tasmat. Drishta adrishtebhyaha drishta drishtebhyo bahya sadhana sadhyebhyo viraktasya pratyagatma vishaya brahma jignyasa iyam Kena ishitam ityadi shrutya pradashyate. Okay. Therefore, now here ends that argument. What argument? Jnana karma samasamuchyaha is not possible, but jnana karma krama samuchyaha is possible, but for moksha jnanam independent is an independent means for moksha. Okay, that is established, but he says here tasmat therefore means what? Because karma is purushatantram, jnanam is vastutantram, they cannot be combined, they cannot coexist, and karma is possible only in ajnanam. In jnanam, karma is not possible, isn't it? The same karma is not satyam in jnanam and ajnanam. Therefore, they cannot be combined. Then now he says here, therefore, drishta adrishtebhyo bahya sadhana sadhyebhyo viraktasya. Pratyagatma vishaya brahma jignyasa iyam. So, iyam brahma jignyasa means what now? This desire for knowledge, brahma jignyasa, desire for knowledge of Brahman. No, for which pratyagatma vishaya, for which one's own self is the subject matter. Is a knowledge for which subject matter is one's own self. Pratyagatma eva vishayaha yasyaha jignyasayaha. Isn't it? You say pratyagatma vishaya jignyasa. Brahma jignyasa. Isn't it? So, the desire for the knowledge of the truth, the Brahman, for which subject matter is the very self, that it is possible for whom? The jignyasa is possible only for a viraktaha. Look at this. If the one who is still interested in karma is, even the jignyasa is not possible. One who is interested in karma, jignyasa is not possible. Jignyasa, yam jignyasa. What jignyasa? Brahma jignyasa. Brahma jignyasa, again he explains what? Pratyagatma vishaya brahma jignyasa, the desire for knowledge of Brahman, for which subject matter is another than the self, isn't it? That brahma jignyasa, atma vishaya jignyasa, isn't it? Atma vishaya brahma jignyasa, that desire for the truth, desire for the knowledge of the truth itself is possible for whom? Viraktasya. Viraktaha means what? The one who is dispassionate. Vairagyavan Purusha. Viraktaha means the dispassionate person. Dispassionate towards what? Dispassionate towards all the karma phalani. Dispassionate towards all the karmas. This is Viraktasya. And Viraktaha means what? He dispassionate towards what? All those ends which fall within the realm of means and ends. All the ends which fall within the realm of means and ends. Moksha is an end which doesn't fall within the realm of means and ends. It is already Siddhavastu. Therefore, this person, he is dispassionate towards the ends in the form of means and ends. And what are they? They are bahya, their external ends also. Other than oneself, isn't it? Anything a person wants to accomplish other than one's own self. See, one's own self cannot be accomplished by karma, only in terms of knowledge, isn't it? But accomplishment of anything other than oneself, it becomes bahya sadhana, isn't it? Bahya means what? No, sadhana sadhya. Antara means what? No, siddha. Isn't it? Therefore, bahya sadhana sadhyebhyah viraktaha. One who is dispassionate towards all the external means and ends. And this known or unknown. Unknown ends, the ends which has been accomplished may be known ends or unknown ends. Isn't it? The person, he is not at all interested in any ends which are external, known or unknown. Such a person is called Viraktaha. So here, you see, for him alone, tasmat, therefore, the very jignasa is possible only for the person who is dispassionate towards all the external ends, known or unknown objects. Therefore, what? Only for accomplishing these ends which fall within the realm of means and ends, which are external, which are time-bound, only for accomplishing those ends, karma becomes the means. But jnanam itself, desire for jnanam itself is possible only for the person who is viraktaha, dispassionate towards other ends. Only for the person who desire for jnanam itself is possible for a person who is dispassionate towards other ends means, other ends are accomplishable through karma. Therefore, this person cannot be interested in karma. If this person being not interested in ends accomplishable through karma, this person cannot be interested in karma also. Only for the person who is not interested in karma, the very desire for jnanam is possible when we say, how do you say Purva Pakshi? That is, jnanam and karma are combinable. Do you get it? Therefore, he says what now? Therefore, tasmat drishta adrishtebhyah bahya sadhana sadhyebhyah viraktasya pratyagatma vishaya brahma jignyasa iyam. Okay, the jignyasa then pradarshyate. Now it is shown here what now? Kena ishitam ityadi shrutya. Through the shrutis, such as Kena Ishitam, beginning with the Upanishad, which begins with the Kena Ishitam, by that it is revealed, Pradarshyate. What is revealed? The Jignasa itself is possible only for a person who is not interested in, who is grown out of, who is dispassionate towards the ends accomplishable through karma. That means, this person cannot be interested in karma also. How is it possible for you to combine karma with jnanam? This shruti, shrutya pradarshyate. It is revealed through this shruti. What is revealed through the Shruti? Yam Jignyasa, the desire for knowledge of Brahman being there. For whom? For the one who is Viraktaha, dispassionate. Towards what? All the sadhana sadhyas. What are they? They're all external. What are they? No? Known or unknown objects. What does it mean? They're all accomplishable through karma. So what? This person cannot be interested in karma. Therefore, karma and jnanam are not combinable. Sishya, Acharya, Prashna, Prativachana Rupena, Kathanam, Tu, Sukshma Vastu, Vishayatvat, Sukha Pratipatti Karanam Bhavati. So having ended his argument answering the Purvapakshi that karma and jnanam cannot be combined simultaneously because karma dependently or independently also cannot be the means for moksha, and karma cannot be combined with the jnanam as a means for moksha, and jnanam is an independent means for mokshaha. Because moksha is not something, a sadhanam or a sadhyam, sadhyaha, but moksha is already a siddha vastu atma. Clear? Now he says, and therefore, now he is going to a new topic now. Sishya acharya prashna prativachana rupena kathanam. So now, Sishya Acharya Prashna Prativachana Rupena Kathanam. Now this Upanishad is presented in the form of what now? Sishya Acharya Prativachana Rupena Kathanam. Now this presentation of the Upanishad in the form of dialogue between Sishya and Acharya. Isn't it? Sishya Acharya Prativachanam. Prativachanam means what now? This dialogue. It's a dialogue. That why is it in the form of dialogue? Because Sukshma Vastu Vishayatvat. Sukshma Vastu Vishayatvat means the Upanishad, subject matter of the Upanishad happens to be the subtlest subject matter, isn't it? Happens to be the subtlest reality. Vishayatvam, it Upanishad has the Vishaya. What is the Vishaya subject matter? The subject matter is what now? Sukshmam, Ati Sukshmatamam. Happens to be the subtlest reality. Subject matter of the Upanishad happens to be the subtlest reality. Sukshma Vastu Vishayatvat. Due to its subject matter being the subtlest reality, then this teaching presented in the form of dialogue, what now, becomes a means for easy understanding, easy digestion. So he says, Sukha Pratipatti Karanam Bhavati. Sukha Pratipatti means what now? Pratipatti here means understanding. Pratipatti means understanding here. And absorption. Pratipatti means what now? Absorption, understanding, isn't it? So, pratipatti or accomplishment also in fact. So, subject matter becomes easily accomplishable, easily accomplishable, easily reachable, easily absorbable, easily understandable, easily graspable, isn't it? When, so sukha pratipatti karanam, it becomes easily graspable. Therefore, to make it easily understandable, it is presented in the form of dialogue. Kimartam Sishya Acharya Prativachana Rupena Kathanam. Isn't it? You get it? You have to say yes or no. So, Sishya Acharya Prashna Prativachanam. Prashnaha question, Prativachanam is answer. Why is it in the form of dialogue? In the form of a question and an answer. Because the Kathanam is what? Sukshma Vastu Vishayatvat Sukha Pratipatti Karanam Bhavati. It becomes this, the presentation of the Upanishad in the form of dialogue between the student and the teacher, as the, in the form of the question and answer, it becomes easy for understanding the subtler subject matter of the Upanishad. Kevala Tarka.
Kevala Tarka.
Agamyatvam cha darshitam bhavati. Kevala tarka agamyatvam means what? No, mere logic, isn't it? Mere argument, isn't it? Logic, without support of the shruti. Isn't it? Without support of the shruti, with the support of the teacher also, you know, merely using one's intellect also, agamyatvam bhavati, subject matter of the Upanishad, without proper analysis, without the support of the teacher's guidance, this will not be reachable, this will not be accomplishable. Agamyatvam bhavati. Agamyatvam cha darshitam bhavati. That what is revealed here through this is that it cannot be understood easily without support of the teacher's guidance. Isn't it? And it has to be understood easily. That is why it is in the form of a dialogue also. A question and answer. Subject matter is very subtle. Okay? So with this, and he is going to talk about the teachers, how important teacher is here. Oh, I can finish it actually. Naisha. Tarkena. Matihi. Apaneya. Iti. Shrutescha. So, matihi apane na matihi apaneya. Yesha matihi na apaneya tarkena. You know, this knowledge cannot be gained merely by logic. Understand? Purely by logic also. Of course, Shankara always gives logic, tarka pramanam also he gives. See, he always presents, Shankara presents logical explanation also for his arguments. But even though he presents logical explanation for Shruti to support the Shruti, but he doesn't accept any mere logic without Shruti. The Shruti, with the Shruti, logic is acceptable. Logic without Shruti is not enough. So, logic supports the Shruti. Without Shruti, mere logic cannot do anything. Is it clear now? That is why he'll always quote what? Shruti Pramanam, then Yukti is called Yukti Pramanam. Logical explanation is called what now? Yukti Pramanam, Shruti Pramanam. Then you also have Anubhava Pramanam. Your own day-to-day experience becomes, sometimes we can use. Not everywhere, sometimes, isn't it? So here, Shruti Pramanam, Yukti Pramanam and Anubhava Pramanam. We give three Anubhava Pramanam. What is the support? Anything supports your argument. Our day-to-day experience can support our views. No, the argument which support our views are said to be, can be from Shruti. Isn't it? You have a view of a given thing, and the view of a given thing can be supported by Shruti or Yukti, logic, or day-to-day experience. So Shankara here he says, he always quotes lots of Anubhava Pramanam and also Yukti Pramanam to support the Shruti. But mere Yukti Pramanam without Shruti Pramanam will be useless. Is it clear now? Do you get it? Get the point? Okay. Now he says, so Tarkena Matihi Na Apaniyam, what now? This knowledge is not accomplishable by mere logic. Isn't it? By mere Yukti. So, therefore he says, what now? What it means, one has to study the Shastram definitely with the help of the teacher. So he says, Acharyavan Purusho Veda.
Acharyavan
Purusho Veda. See, all quotes now. He quotes from Shruti Veda. Acharyavan Purushaha Veda. Acharyavan Purushaha means the one who has the teacher is called Acharyavan. The student who has the teacher alone knows means what? The one who does not have the teacher, one who does the self-study, definitely does not know, cannot know. Because Shruti's words need to be unfolded. Okay. He quotes one more quotation. He gives one more quotation. Acharyadheva.
Acharyadheva.
Acharyadheva. That means what? Acharyat hi eva. Acharyat hi eva. Vidya.
Vidita.
Sadhishtam.
Prapate.
Iti. So, Acharyathi eva vidya vidita sadhishtam prapate. So, the knowledge gained from the teacher alone becomes what? Well established as a sadhishtam. Real, becomes real means. But real becomes meaningful. Tad vidhi. Pranipatena, tadvidhi pranipatena, ityadi, shruti, smriti, niyamaccha. Now, there is shruti is niyama, smriti is niyamaha. There are certain regulations ordained by shruti and smriti. Not only Shruti, Smriti also, okay, both Shruti and Smriti. Shruti says that's the authentic, most authentic. Shruti and Smriti, according to Shruti and Smriti, there is a Niyamaha, there is a Vidhi, there is certain regulation. What is that regulation? Definitely one should go and study with the help of the teacher. One should not study Shastram by oneself. One should not use mere logic also to understand the truth or self. And he says, what's the meaning there? Tad vidhi pranipatena. May you know the truth, no, by prostrating at the feet of the teacher. That mantra implies one should study with the help of the teacher. Okay? He quotes that, all those things. Therefore means what? Kaschit gurum brahmanishtam. Are you all reading or not? Kaschit gurum brahmanishtam vidhivat upetya pratyagatma vishayat anyatra sharanam apashyan abhayam nityam shivam achalam ichan paprachha iti kalpyate. So iti kalpyate, we means what now? It is iti kalpyate. It is understood here. What is that now? It's also kaschid one, anyone, okay, someone. Gurum brahmanishtam. Brahmanishtam gurum. Approaching, so vidhivatu upetya. So, upetya, having approached the guru with, no, in a proper way, in a proper way, the way one has to approach the guru. Vidhivat, upetya gurum, which gurum? The one who is, one who has clear vision of the reality, and one who knows the method of unfoldment, such a guru, having approached such a guru, not seeing any other refuge. What now? Sharanam anyatra sharanam apashyan. Anyatra sharanam apashyan means what? This seeker, who's the seeker of moksha, does not find any other refuge. Sharanam anyatra apashyan. He does not find, not finding, without being able to find any other solution, any other thing as a refuge, isn't it? He approaches what now? Without finding another refuge, the only refuge for him, the only solution for him, being the knowledge, the only refuge becomes who now? The Shastram. Isn't it? Shastram means what now? Pratyagatma Vishayat Anyatra. Other than the subject matter of the self, other than the knowledge of the self, other than the knowledge of self, not seeing any other solution for moksha, not seeing any other refuge other than the self-knowledge, this person approaches the guru with upeti. Khatam vidhivate. He approaches the guru the way he has to approach, in the proper way. And he approaches which guru? The one who is, one who knows the method of unfoldment, and one who knows Brahman clearly. So, Brahmanishtam gurum vidhivatu upeti. Kimartham upeti? Why does he approach here? Pratyagatma vishayat anyatra sharanam apashyan. Not seeing, not finding any other solution for moksha. Not finding any other means for moksha. Not seeing any other refuge for moksha other than the self-knowledge. He approaches the teacher. Okay, anyatra sharanam apashyan. Then, what does he want now? Abhayam nityam shivam achalam ichan. All that he wants is the fear-free, eternal, auspicious, immovable, unchanging, unchangeable reality. Being desirous of ichan. Being desirous of the self, which is reality, which is free from fear, eternal, and which is auspicious, which is immovable, which is unchanging. Okay, being desirous of that self, paprachha, he had asked the teacher, iti kalpyate, it is understood. Is it clear now? You can say it is visualized, it is imagined. It is imagined here, it is visualized here, it is understood here that this teacher, some student, not seeing any other solution, not finding any other refuge other than the knowledge of the self, he approached the teacher in a proper way. The teacher who is now the Brahmanishta teacher, he approached. And being desirous of what? Being desirous of abhayam, achalam, nityam, shivam, ichan. All that he wants is the self. All he wants is moksha. What is that? Auspicious, eternal. Achalam, achalaha, immovable, and which is also free from all fear. He approached, he wanted, being desirous of knowing that, he approached the teacher. This is visualized. So what he, Shankara, last bit he cut, a few sentences are all about the importance of the studying the Shastram with the help of the teacher. See, always, yukti, whenever you use yukti pramanam, Yukti Pramana, logical explanation. When you use logic to support the Shruti statements, that is acceptable, isn't it? And Shruti, whereas mere logic without this Shruti, isn't it, will not help you really to understand the truth. Have you got it? Huh? Right or not? Suddenly it became quiet. Oh, 1 o'clock. Anyway, I'm happy finished it. And I tell you, in the next class we'll go for another 2 classes, we'll go for this first mantra. Because Ishitam has a lot of explanation. The grammar comes. Why Ishitam? Why not Preshitam? That why prefix pra? Lots of explanations. We'll see that. I got it now. See, next class maybe I can sum up the points for you. Today we just read the Bhashyam. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.